It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You are listening to Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, March 14th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Marine Highway officials plan to close gift shops on board state ferries. Transportation Department Deputy Commissioner Ruben Yost says the shutdown will save about $1 million a year.
The gift shops are nice, but it's not part of our core mission of moving people and vehicles from one point to another, and it's over time has become increasingly expensive.
Yost discussed the change at this week's meeting of the state's Marine Transportation Advisory Board. Five larger mainline ferries have full shops. The two small fast ferries have limited gift items in their food service areas. Yost says a few necessities will remain on sale.
We will address the need for toiletries and other commodities that people may have forgotten to bring on the vessel by selling them out of the cafeteria.
Those items will eventually be sold from vending machines. Ferry hats, T-shirts, and similar branded products will be available online. Yost says the shops will be phased out over the summer as the inventory is sold.
That does involve 10 positions on the Marine Highway system, but the cashiers working in the gift shop have seniority, so ultimately what it'll work out to be is that rather than 10 people lose their jobs, there will be 10 less new people hired this summer.
There's no immediate plan for how the shop rooms will be used. Yost says labor contracts prohibit leasing the space to private businesses. More and more specialized occupations require specialized training, often at the college level. And the University of Alaska Southeast is planning to meet that demand. UAS Sitka campus administrators spoke about some of the new degree programs in law enforcement, fisheries, and healthcare before the Sitka Chamber of Commerce this week. With an $8 million budget, including grant funding, the university intends to better equip Sitkans to enter the workforce. KCAW's Emily Foreman reports.
UAS Law Enforcement Program Manager Dave Sexton asked the Sitka Chamber to turn the clocks back 50 years to a time when law enforcement didn't have educational standards.
The 60s were a great decade for rock and roll and moon landings. The 60s pretty much sucked for law enforcement.
The U.S. government has raised the bar for joining the police force since the 60s, and Sexton says UAS is trying to ride the wave.
Up until 6 months ago, you could get an Associate of Arts degree in police sciences in 49 states. Alaska was the only state in the union that didn't offer a law enforcement degree, a two-year degree. Couldn't get one.
That was until UAS started offering an Associate of Arts degree in Police Science last fall. Previously, Sitkans had to travel to Fairbanks or Anchorage and get a four-year bachelor's degree in order to be competitive. Now they can get a degree from UAS in 2 years without leaving home, or even their couch, should they opt to take the course online. Sitka Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt said this offering is a big step in cultivating more Alaska-grown cops.
Law enforcement is marching towards degree standards, and I think we're smart to get in while we can because the market is there. Pretty soon, within the next 10 or 15 years, I think there'll be a degree requirement.
And UAS wants to make it easier to get a degree. That means making all classes available online, but also accommodating Sitkans who learn best in the classroom. UAS Fish Tech Program Manager Reed Brewer has piloted a hybrid approach. He teaches a fisheries class with two local students and eight others from around the state.
This coming fall, we're going to offer all of our classes as hybrid classes, so Sitkans can take a face-to-face class here. In the past, all we were doing is distance, and right now I'm trial running how this technology works, where you have both local and distance, and it really seems to work. But we want to make these classes available to Sitkans.
Brewer says UAS places 80% of its fish tech students in fisheries-related fields. Over the next 4 years, he hopes this will increase. The Department of Labor recently granted his department $2.5 million. Brewer has already put this funding to work. He hired outreach coordinators who have been helping to link students to fisheries fields. He also intends to develop occupational endorsement programs for fisheries management. That's a degree that requires fewer than 30 credits. It's fewer than a certificate, but still teaches the skills necessary for job placement. New university-wide programming changes are also designed to get Sitka's high school students to start thinking strategically about the future.
One of the other things we're doing for Sitka is we're trying to get our programs into the high schools. So we're trying to offer our courses for dual credit, so high school students at both Edgecombe and Sitka can take our classes for college credit and for high school credit.
In the meanwhile, UAS Director Jeff Johnston said the last thing he wants is for Sitkins to go into debt with nothing to show for it. He's confident the program options at UAS will continue to help people get a good start on their careers without the financial risk. In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Critics have called it the best book about the natural history of Southeast Alaska in print. Naturalists Richard Karstensen and Bob Armstrong have completely revised their classic text, The Nature of Southeast Alaska, which they first published in 1992. The authors were in Sitka to speak at a UAS Natural History Seminar last night. Karstensen stopped by our studios and spoke with KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
The old nature of Southeast is kind of embarrassing for me to read in places now, particularly the section on forests. I was totally bought into the vocabulary of volume. You describe an important, valuable forest in terms of volume, which now I think we can look back and say that was kind of a tangent from what we should have been looking at, which is forest structure. Volume is just a measure of how much wood there is in a forest, and it's important to people logging and building houses, but not that very much to fish and wildlife values.
Karstensen says that 22 years of fieldwork has informed the writing of the revised edition of the book. There are over 50 new sidebars, and the number of his illustrations have more than doubled. The core text, as co-authored by Karstensen, Armstrong, and Rita O'Clair, remains mostly intact. Karstensen concentrated on habitat and mammals. Armstrong covered fish and birds. O'Clair took on invertebrates, lichens, fungi, and vascular plants in the first edition, but she only consulted on this edition. As a result, Karstensen and Armstrong had to close ranks on O'Clair's specialty areas. Karstensen says this is exactly what naturalists do, focus on a place rather than a discipline.
A naturalist is broad but shallow, and a scientist is typically narrow and deep. And some scientists are, frankly, oblivious to areas outside their discipline. But typically, as a scientist matures and gets into, you know, the late phases of their career, they can also be pretty good naturalists, too.
Do you get along with scientists?
I love scientists. Yeah, I'd be helpless without scientists. All the great information in Southeast Alaska, you can usually track it to a scientist. As naturalists, we're just trying to keep things from falling through the cracks between scientific disciplines.
Karstensen remains on the staff of Discovery Southeast, a Juneau-based natural history educational organization. He says Discovery Southeast is planning its 25th anniversary celebration this April. The revised third edition of The Nature of Southeast Alaska is available in area bookstores. And a student's physical well-being is paramount to how they perform in school. The Petersburg School District is hoping to improve that through a four-year, $600,000 grant, which started this school year. An update on the grant was given to the district school board at their last meeting. Angela Denning Barnes reports.
So far, the Healthy Living Grant has helped wellness projects in all of the schools. That includes 10 modern water fountains being installed that feature a place to fill water bottles. Ginger Evans is the Healthy Living Grant coordinator.
And the kids are loving it. You can see them going and filling up their water bottles. The water is much colder. It's filtered.
Petersburg is one of 9 districts in the state to receive the grant through the Department of Health and Human Services under the Obesity Prevention and Control Program. Evans says drinking water was one of the main components of the grant.
We had water. We had accessible water, but kids were not going to all the water fountains because they didn't like the way it tasted, what it looked like when they put in their water bottles. So this is very exciting that this is happening.
The hope is that if students are drinking from their water bottles, they're not consuming other sugary drinks. The Healthy Living Grant is also helping to fund breakfast for high schoolers and fifth graders. For the older students, it's called the Second Chance Breakfast Program. Before this year, breakfasts were not available for the teenagers. Now, about 35 students a day eat at the school in the morning.
Kids who have free and reduced lunch can use that for the second chance breakfast, or they can purchase it. And the kids really seem to be enjoying it.
It's amazing. It's 35 people that are eating something. And they're all, you know, complete meals, nutritious meals for the most part. And so that's awesome.
Carly Wells is the food service program director. She also gave an update to the school board on how the grant is helping. She says it's funding a new pilot program for the fifth graders through the Healthy, Hungry, Free Kids Act. She says before the program, they were feeding 80 meals per week. Now that's jumped to 150.
So we're looking at, you know, seeing if that increases our participation, feeds our kids, and how that impacts those students.
The middle school students have had a breakfast program in place that allows them to eat at school if they want. But school board member Sarah Holmgren says it's the high schoolers who might need that meal the most.
I'm willing to bet a lot of them go out the door, not even breakfast, whereas in middle school, parents still tend to make sure they get a breakfast or they're eating at school. So this is great. I'm really happy to hear that this has been done.
The Healthy Living Grant also supports the esteem-building Girls on the Run program in the grade school, as well as after-school snacks for all students. Another health-related program that the school district is implementing will allow parents to keep tabs on the finer details of the school's menu. It's a new computer software program. Again, Carly Wells.
What this is going to allow us to do is we're going to be able to have all of our calorie counts and all of our nutritional data for every parent who wants to know. So this is going to be amazing, super amazing.
She says part of the grant is proving to the state that the district is meeting their nutritional requirements, which she says Petersburg has no problem doing. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 39 degrees in downtown Sitka and raining lightly. The regional forecast calls for rain today with rain and snow tonight and temperatures in the low 40s. We're going to rejoin NPR's Morning Edition. I'll be back with you at 18 minutes after the hour with a live local interview. Do stay tuned if you can.